Let's go ahead and start by doing a roll call of rounds. Okay, Andy Schultz, chair, present.
Cheryl Hammond.
Kyle Hickwiss, vice chair.
John Levner.
Beth Schmidt.
Kevin Hammond, city traffic engineer.
Kelly Richardson, staff assistant.
Andrea Madison.
Ramona Murtha.
Jackie Roche.
All right, let's go ahead and any comments on the minutes from last meeting?
I have a couple of comments.
Sure.
I'm wondering on the first page whether I don't see the actual word minutes.
Yeah.
So it's the document isn't very self-identifying, so it would be great if the word minutes could be added somewhere. And then on the second page, discussion of the NTMP. So I have a couple of requesting a couple of corrections or clarifications on this section. The information here isn't incorrect, but it seems to me very incomplete. So the first thing is that the first three bullets are the discussion of the NTMP, but the last two bullets and the comment of members agree to continue discussion next time, those were all a topic that Beth brought up, a separate topic that Beth brought up that was not on the agenda relating to reporting of injuries. You could provide the title of the topic better. So adding a new heading and separating out those last two bullets plus the comment about continuing this discussion next time. And I have a couple more things, but I'll wait if people are taking notes. Watching and waiting.
Yeah, we kind of condensed the, because the discussion kind of went a lot of different places. We didn't do a lot of detail on it.
So I guess that relates to my other comment. I guess if I was a member of the public or a person considering being on CATSE, I would want some of that detail, because the first three bullets are a correct summary of what we talked about, but they don't really provide any information. And we actually learned some, I think, important information, like just listing, in my opinion, it would be great to list the five stop sign projects, even if it's just naming the neighborhood. List the two speed hump projects, even if it's just one word about the location. And also the fact that CATSE will review the next round of NTMP projects seems, with scores, seems like a thing. I mean, it's a sentence, it's not a paragraph. And then the last point, the fact that the city doesn't currently have a GIS layer for stop signs or uncontrolled intersections maybe, or for speed humps, I think that's a relevant piece of information. And each one of these things I'm suggesting is like one sentence. It's not, we don't have to capture the whole, you know, we don't have to have a transcription of everything that was said, but I guess that's my proposal, is to add, you know, kind of a sentence about these four or so different things to provide actual information.
Yeah, that's fine. And I think part of why we got it a little short was it was a lot of information that had been done a lot in a lot of detail in past meetings, so that's why.
Well, but, I guess we have a lot of new people,
and
so
that's why. No, I agree, and I think staff probably got a little lazy, me, in not doing it, because we had talked a lot about this for quite a few years leading up to this, and and we didn't recognize that we do have new staff members, so having some additional detail would be helpful. So we'll make sure we do that.
Yeah, more including those prior conversations by reference, just noting topics also discussed these dates so they can go look at the other minutes and look in more detail.
Yeah.
Are the recordings of these that you guys take available to the public as well, or is it just purely the minutes? Because obviously that also changes the level of detail if people can listen to what we said.
The recordings are on the website the day after the meeting, usually they get posted up there.
Yeah. So,
and they're up there for a year.
Yeah. Okay. I'd also consider that to be a dual record then. We have both the recording and the minutes.
Yeah. But I'll do a better job of adding enough detail.
Yeah. Honestly, Cheryl caught the one thing that I was going to note, which is that our discussion topic that was specifically booted to this meeting was not explicitly mentioned in the minutes. So, I got nothing. All right, any other comments, or can we move to adopt as with modifications requested? Or actually, excuse me, can we move to reject pending modifications for approval at a later meeting?
What?
We should, since the requested edits were rather extensive, as opposed to adopting these minutes, I would recommend that we send them back for revision.
Adopt the minutes at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
And I'll second. All right, all in favor of receiving modified minutes at the next meeting and adopting them then, say aye. Oh,
aye.
Question.
Aye. No, I'm voting aye. Yes.
Opposed, nay.
She's in a hurry.
All right. On next. Public comment other than related to tonight's specific topic of the parking restrictions on Henningsen Court. Anyone here for purposes other than that, or can we move on? All right, I'll open and close that particular comment period then. Non-hearing items. I believe this is a recurring one from last meeting. Do we want to send a CATC representative to the Bike Summit Friday, April 11th?
This is for Julie to give a little discussion.
Sure.
For.
And I don't think this is a recurring item. The Public Works Director last year held a bike summit with advocacy groups, and it was the first time he's pretty new in our Public Works Director role, and he decided to hold it, that it was valuable last year. He decided to hold another one. It's scheduled for Friday, April 11th from 1 to 4 p.m., and we thought it would be useful to have a representative from this group attend that meeting. I know it's a little bit last minute since the meeting is a week from Friday. We've also had a little bit of confusion on our invitations for this, so I believe that one of your members, Cheryl, has probably already been sent an invitation.
Sort of. I wanted to clarify
it was
that.
Yes, it was
I didn't
confusing.
Have an invitation, but I was invited to do the pre-interview, which made it sound like I was probably invited.
Right. So we've had a little bit of, rockiness and getting this thing organized. And so the idea is to have a representative from CATC, and if Cheryl's even interested, but or available.
I'm very interested, and I'm available. And I'm not in whatever confusion you mentioned. I'm not sure if my name got in there as the potential CATC person.
It did. I think what happened was that one of the people organizing it knew that you had an interest in bikes. She knew you were on CATC, and so she sent it to you. She also sent it to a previous member of CATC who's not on CATC anymore. So, just a little bit of confusion here. But really what we're asking is if you guys want to send a representative, and if there were two people interested, we could probably accommodate that as well. This is the The purpose of the meeting is to foster communication between city leadership and bike advocacy groups, and to identify action items that for all parties to continue communication and advance efforts to improve biking in Salem. Those are two of the key objectives. We're also going to be looking to recruit individuals or organizations to serve as ambassadors for engaging different perspectives on bicycle needs and priorities for upcoming city transportation planning projects. So in addition to somebody from this group, we're also inviting members from Planning Commission who have formed a transportation subcommittee. There's also the Salem Bike Vision Group who is a part of this, and Salem Bicycle Club. And then we've also reached out to representatives of the local bike shops, and then also the Beth through the Safe Routes to School program. And she attended last year, I believe. Yes.
I'll be there Friday, too.
So she'll be there for that, wearing that hat.
Not in this capacity.
What about neighborhood associations?
You know, that's a really good question.
Sorry, I asked it.
John, you coming for
sounds like you're coming for Swan.
No, I won't be here in that
he
week.
He doesn't have a bike. Why are we talking about
And
him?
I don't have a
he
bike.
He doesn't have a bike.
So
my
I'm
wife ran over it.
I'm interested. I would love to go. I could wear two hats. I could wear Cassie hat, and I could wear SCAM Transportation Committee hat, and that would accomplish a neighborhood association thing.
Okay, that would probably be good. Yeah, I mean, I think part of this is it's sort of a new thing, and we're trying to, you know, focus it on bicycle advocacy, and so neighborhood associations now, you know, within them, there are some bicycle advocates, but I don't really usually think of them as a bicycle advocacy organization. So I think that's maybe part of the reasoning.
Well, I don't know about other neighborhood associations. We have a lot of conversations about biking and you know, the it's, well, anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this is sort of a, I'm not even sure this is a standing thing. This is just the second time it's happened. We're not calling it a second annual because I don't know if it's going to continue. It's just, you know, trying to keep that communication, particularly with our leadership and, you know, and bike advocates, and to see what we can all do together, you know, so it's not just, you know, city, why aren't you doing blah, blah, blah. It's like, how can we all work together to advance, improve things for bicycling in Salem?
Awesome.
So I don't know that I need a motion or anything. It's more just wanting to make sure that you guys are aware and are okay with Cheryl representing CATSE on for you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
yes.
I think we're all fine.
Yes.
The only other thing I would check
I move
is
approval.
If there's any other people that would want to attend, but failing that, yeah, I don't see any need for a motion or a movement.
Okay. Well, thank you all, and I am going to head out so you guys can have fun without me.
Thanks, Joe.
There'll be no fun without you.
All right. Next up on the agenda is the public hearing regarding restricting on-street parking along the east side of Henningsen Court Southeast. Start by asking staff to present the issue and their recommendation.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So I've got an aerial. This is Henningsen Court. It's off Kubler in Southeast Salem. Gotta get an idea. Costco's over here in the lower left. And so some of these roads, this was old prison site that's been, you know, being developed over the last 15 years or so, and some roads have been connected through, one of them is Henningsen Court, and there is some development here that uses it, some trucking and cold storage, I believe. But as, you know, some of these roads don't have a lot of eyes on them, there's been some issues with camping and stuff, and so that have kind of created some issues just for this company to be able to have their vehicles here. So they reached out and asked, currently this side of Henningsen is already no parking, and this side is allowed parking. And so they had asked for some solutions about removing parking, but still a lot, there's still a need for some trucks to be able to park along there, especially, you know, because trucking can kind of come in at all hours of the day and night, and the business might not be open, and there's a needing a place to stay. So originally we had looked at, when I had first signed it, we looked at just posting it no parking through all of it. And that's why I posted out there for a notice. We did get some comments about truck parking, and then we also got some comments from people that come out here and park to use the trail system, walk their dogs and stuff. So what, so I talked with parking services, parking enforcement, because some of the things that we need to make sure that we can do is we provide clear signing and the ability to enforce. So it can't be, it has to be very clear language. And so what, working with these folks, the manager of the company and parking service and compliance services, we looked at some options, including no parking commercial vehicles exempt, so that trucks could park along there. And then we looked at an area up near the cul-de-sac where the path is. There's about 90 feet between the driveway and the beginning of the cul-de-sac. We want to leave the cul-de-sac open because that allows for fire turnaround. But there's about 90 feet there that we could look at two-hour parking once per day. Then that would allow people to come out there, utilize the paths, walk their dogs. And there, that would be, 90 feet would be about four spaces. And from conversations that I've had with folks, that seemed to be enough. A couple hours was enough. So the proposal is down here. Is to, the red is existing, and it, there's missing signs, but the land use action actually had it no parking throughout the cul-de-sac. And so the proposal is to mark the right side of Henningsen Court up to the past the driveway as no parking, commercial vehicle accepted, so if you had a truck you could be there. And then this is about 90 feet of two-hour parking once per day. So that would help keep people from camping, because they could be there, but they could come keep coming back or moving around. Because a lot of the other things is sometimes people will move and come back, and they'll just juggle between two spots. So this is something that enforcement felt they could, would be reasonable that they could enforce along with this. So that seemed to be the best way of meeting all of the needs that we heard for out here, the street.
What about the other streets that are around that area, like on the right there and then up above?
Yeah, this one is marked as a bike lane, so it's no parking both sides.
It's all a bike lane?
Yeah, Truax. Mill Creek is the same way. I think Logistics has bike lane as well on it.
Okay.
The reason this doesn't have bike lanes, it didn't really go anywhere. So, you know, when it was developed, you know, 10 years ago or so, you know, the problems that we're having now didn't really exist as much. And so,
I have a question.
Yes.
So I'm looking at the letter as well as the proposal. In the letter, it talks about the truck staying overnight. And the proposal doesn't really talk about anything other than non-business hours. Is there an issue with how long the trucks are staying there? Or is it really just...
Yeah. No, it hasn't mm-hmm. been the trucks. It's been more camping and, okay. and garbage and sure. some of the stuff that's going on. The trucks that are there, they may be overnight and waiting. You know, they might get in mm-hmm. at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, and the business doesn't open until... What? And I think we have some folks here that can probably address that.
One of our tenants went out, and they open about 4:30 at
That's usually their trucks that are usually waiting. There's usually two or three of them out there waiting for their guys to open.
Can you please state your name for the record?
I'm Chris Meyer.
Thank you.
Yep. So I think it isn't that they're going to be overnight. It's more our long-term truck parking. It's more waiting for delivery or
pickup. So I have a related question. Once the agenda came out last week, I'd ridden my bike through there last summer once, and so I went on a little field trip to go check it out in person, or try to do that with things I know we're going to talk about. And at that time, I don't remember what day it was, last Tuesday, a week ago, I think, there were no RVs. There was a ton of trash on the east side, or the east side. There were two trailers of trucks only, but not cabs.
They were there for several days.
Yeah, and then as I kind of did a loop out the path and came back the other road, when I was coming back on Truax, a semi had pulled in, you know, right around that time. So I guess, you know, the semi, I don't know how long it was going to stay there. That's not necessarily a problem. But those two green trailers, are they a problem?
And we don't know if those green trailers belong to the business. So you're...
I have a photo of them.
Yeah, I do too.
So are they just parked there?
Yeah,
indefinitely.
The truck is disconnected from the trailer.
Yeah, it's just
they drove off.
Dark business.
Oh, so they maybe are.
I think they're coming from Home Depot or Lowe's.
So they maybe are a problem.
They could be. Yeah, I think.
Aware of, obviously.
I think Oregon or
it was a concern I had as well. Actually, it was commercial vehicle is a somewhat amorphous term. How does this say cover us against unlabeled vehicles being used for business? Are we differentiating between trucks and, say, if a work vehicle, like a work car, was out there? You know, a lot of people operate out of their own personal vehicles when they're doing work-related things, so those are technically work vehicles as well. And I'm aware that there is nothing out there currently, but I was also going to ask about the zoning, because this area will obviously develop in the future, and these signs will remain in place past the immediate issue.
On the east side, because
on the east side, it won't develop. That's wetlands.
The signs can be taken.
Yeah,
out.
But further
so,
north.
So yeah, there is a definition of commercial vehicle. I don't think. I know in the past we've had issues with trailers are not allowed to be parked on the road. The hard part is that some trailers don't have licenses, so it's hard to write a ticket against them. But those trailers that are parked there could get a ticket for parking there. Right now, it's not posted, no parking.
Right.
So they're there. In the future, with this commercial vehicle exempt, those trailers wouldn't be, I don't believe, would be allowed to park there because they're empty and they're not attached to a truck.
They're not a vehicle. They're
not technically a vehicle. So I'll have to check that.
And I think the real intent is to eliminate the car camping and the trash,
not
to punish the trucks for whatever they're doing. And if the trailers are 4 days, then they come and get it. But it's probably not in the way for the most part, and not causing the issues of the trash and the camping. So this is the wording of the signs may not be perfect, but it's what parking enforcement believes they can enforce.
Okay.
Because, you know, you put up a no parking sign and you put commercial vehicles exempt. That's pretty short. It's pretty clear. If you put in 15 words, 30 words trying to describe something, no one reads it, it's impossible to enforce.
Yeah.
Signing is meant to be simple.
Any additional quick questions from Cat C before I start asking for a public comment? Yeah, just initial thoughts so that I can ask for feedback from the folks here and then continue deliberation. Yes.
Jackie Roche, I don't, with your concern about other business vehicles parking there, I don't know that that would even be an issue because it's not like Woodward's home van. There for extended periods of time unless their car broke down.
Or to walk their dog and then they can go park at
the other end. I understand that being brought up, I, for an actual functioning business, I don't know that that would be a concern that I would have unless someone bought something from an auction and didn't take off the name.
So, excuse me, that
this is just undeveloped land, so there's going to be more that is not in the wetland area eventually. So, if this seems like it might be the only island of parking in the area, I could see when it is more developed, particularly if it's more commercial industrial land outside the wetland areas. This will become pretty hotly contested real estate because we've devoted most of the rest of the roads space that we put out there already to bike lanes. So there's not going to be a lot of on-street parking unless literally every other street that's built out there as it develops out has on-street parking. So I don't know if it's a non-issue, to be honest. It's a non-issue currently.
I guess I don't understand the dog walking. If that's the only place they can park to do that. But if it's wetlands, are they still walking the dog and the...
These are trails.
Oh,
see. It's paved there.
Yeah, there's little trails and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's got doggy pickup bags and everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, where are they going to park? To bring their dogs?
And that spot.
That's 2 hours.
We left a spot here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not listening.
Well, I heard about the spot, but I didn't know if that was just for the dog walkers.
It was just for the dog walkers. 2 hour limit.
As someone who walks a dog twice a day.
You could come out here twice.
No, I won't.
No, actually, only once. You could come out here for one of the walks.
I use Menno Brown.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and open up for public comments. So I guess who would like to speak first?
I just have a question. General.
Name and general
Tom
location.
Tom Burke.
Thank you.
I've been out there, and you can see towards the front. In fact, I took pictures. That'll get bigger. You can see towards the front of the building. It'd be the upper left corner there of the building itself. They've got a fence with a gate across that road right up there. You can zoom in right there and see. Yeah. There you go, right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it looked like somebody crashed into it at one point. It's kind of bent, but it seems to me. See, you've got a semi parked there. It seems to me they've created their own problem here because that driveway looks. I did get measured because it's private property. That driveway looks at least as wide, if not wider, than the street that they're parking on. And what they're doing now, instead of closing that fence up front there, they're closing the gate in the back that doesn't allow their semis to park on their road. As you can see, there's plenty of lanes, right, plenty of distance for two-way traffic there with the semis parked there. And they could index in there during off hours.
Right there?
Weekend.
So is there another gate?
Is there a
gate
there?
Yeah, there's a gate there by where it meets the road.
Right there.
Okay.
I was curious about that, too.
They kind of created their own problem there.
Does the gate extend the entire length of the property, or is it just at the
just that, for that driveway?
Well, this is private, so...
Yeah.
I mean, one way...
But
we can't enforce, but if it's open, then it's open for others to be out there, and then they have to try to run them off. So
isn't the point, though, that
if
people are trying to get in there, then why wouldn't they let them park on their own?
I
think
we
have an explanation over here.
Yeah.
So
the reason why we shut both gates at the end of the night is because if a truck gets in there, if we let them in there and they need to leave, they can't turn around. They're going to go out into the dirt. We've had them do this before. Get stuck. We've had to have tow trucks come in. So we do it just to keep them from getting stuck in there for their own personal safety, too. We don't want them to not be able to get out of there if they have an emergency in a semi-truck or the trailer.
Where do they turn around otherwise? Oh, they back in and then pull back out.
Yeah, so normally we have both gates open when we're open. We close it in the afternoon. Early evening, both those gates get shut when the last person out of the building. So.
And can you state your name for the record?
Chris Meyer.
Thank you.
Additional comment from other people present?
Well, the only thing I'd like to add is just the big issue with the garbage, too. That's wetlands out there, and that's what really concerns me. Homeless people camping there with RVs.
who knows where they're disposing of their waste. I'm sure we all can probably figure that out. So that makes, that's a big concern too.
I've seen it overnight. It was clean and they came out in one night and the next morning. It was like they've been there for weeks.
The city has been out there to clean it up. They've been great about it. They've been out there to clean it up numerous times, taking truckload after truckload out of there. And like he stated, next day, 2 days later, it's like they never did anything. It's just, it's awful. So that's the one big concern too.
And
it is kind of a narrow road, so having too much traffic parked there, it does make it tight for RVs and employees coming and going.
Specifically, is it RVs that's the main problem? People are parking the RVs?
Travel trailers and
it does seem to be the general opinion we've heard.
Car camping.
But it could be anything, right?
There was three trailers there and one truck. It's like, where do the trucks go? Pulled the trailers there individually? I mean, anything.
We have had the police there numerous times to deal with the homeless, with guns being out, actually being shot, and then also with harassing our employees trying to get to work and stuff. Actually, one of their dogs ran out in front of one of the employees and a guy ran out and killed him.
Oh,
and
no.
The guy kept harassing that guy and coming to our site trying to find out who it was and wanted to harass him. Basically, I had to tell him to leave and came back. He was going to get arrested.
Wow.
So that was just recently.
What is the enforcement on the no camping signs? Like, if you put the no camping signs, would that work so it allows dog walkers to park and semis, but not campers?
I don't know.
I mean, it seems the most straightforward, just say no parking, right? Because
it's the most easily enforced,
yes.
Yeah.
No camping sounds like don't set up a tent.
Yeah.
But I mean, and then you get into how long was the car there, how long was, you know, what's their intent? And
yeah, if the car is parked there,
clearer.
Are they camping?
Right.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they got a pile of garbage outside,
of
are they camping? I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're parked, and that's easy. It's black and white, clean, easy to enforce.
And for the most part, I mean, we don't have a lot of officer parking enforcement folks. It's really going to be these guys calling it and having that happen. And then hopefully, you know, somebody's seeing a sign and says, okay, I'm not going to take a chance at having somebody come out and run me off. But, you know, like with anything, we just haven't had enough enforcement folks around to be proactive, so a lot of it's more reactive.
I have a related question. Once y'all go home for the day, gates are shut, lights are out, are there any eyes on that street? Like, do you have security people overnight?
No,
or?
We have security, and we have security cameras mainly on the front side of the building, not on the back side.
Okay. You have security people?
No, just cameras.
Okay.
And everything's alone.
So I guess a question is, how do you stop people from coming in the dark of night and parking? Like, where's the, and I don't know the answer, you know, when.
Well, we don't. I mean, they could park in a bike lane at night. They could park on any of the other streets.
You could park in front of your house overnight.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's just no enforcement until you wake up.
Unless someone notices and there's a complaint.
And it'd be the same here. When they came in the morning and they saw cars, first thing they're going to do is, hey, someone's out here.
Right.
Camping.
But if some of the RV camper people figure out
the time frame. Right.
I mean, often some of them need a place to park for multiple days. Some just need a place to go overnight. Mm-hmm. I guess my opinion is that the staff recommendation is probably the best way to go, but it doesn't seem like it's necessarily going to completely solve the problem.
No.
Is there going to be anything else developed on the rest of that land there between the building and the road? You guys own all that?
That property
between the building and the road in question. You guys own all that property there, and that's where.
Just to show you, it's easiest.
So we own
the whole square. Okay. Yeah.
That was
and this up there is owned by that company that's been building all those
Originally, I was asking,
trust.
Was there going to be any more development, more buildings, and more traffic
in our inside our area?
Yes,
possibly. Yes, nothing's on the. I mean, nothing that we have designed to happen right away. But anything's possible. We could add on, grow. We could have other people come on and join us on there and at least out part of the land.
And this is developable land here too. Owned by you said PacTrust.
PacTrust, I think, owns it because there's a sign there for PacTrust.
And PacTrust will do something with it. I guarantee. They're just developing right now, I guarantee.
The lots to the south are also developable.
Immediately
south.
And it looks like a golf course.
Right there.
Yeah, right now there's a gas station here and there's a hotel proposed over here.
And Dollar General.
That again really raises the question of the wisdom of the parking, of the no parking, if all of these extra facilities are going in. Again, where were they? Where is the on-street parking since we are
it? The only reason for the on-street parking here is because of the pathways. Yeah. I mean, all of these businesses will be providing off-street parking for them. So,
or parking lots. You know, Dollar General have a parking.
Yeah. That's true. So it's more of what's an attraction not related to all the businesses, it's the pathways. And so we're trying to, this option allows some people that aren't related to any of the businesses in the area to be able to be here easily and you know, or you could park at the gas station and walk too, but at some point they might not be happy with that.
It is a nice pathway that they built, I mean, for walking by the wetlands there. It's all paved and everything.
Yeah, they wanted, when this master plan was done, they wanted to have, the bike lanes and the pathways because they had a lot of wetlands that they're going to have available. So
I have a question on the cul-de-sac. Is that currently no parking just because it would get too congested and hard for vehicles
to
turn around?
Fire turnaround.
Okay.
So yeah, cul-de-sacs are typically no parking.
Okay.
In this particular instance, the signs got missed or removed. We don't know which.
Got it.
And so we will get those back.
Yeah.
Got it.
I don't think they're installed.
Yeah.
Right, it's a way out of the way, so it might have just got
Knocked
over. I did have a follow-up question for Chris, because I'm aware that you more or less already answered this question, but I do kind of want to dig into why isn't that access road that you have double-gated something that your drivers could use to do their overnight parking? If you don't already have security on site and you only have the gate across, you're only really stopping vehicular access, which I understand is the main topic of concern here, but literally people out here can walk. They have the ability to access your property currently. So it looks like you have a pretty tight perimeter in your actual inner yard. I'm curious why you can't just allow them to use your driveway there for that parking purpose. You've got space.
Well, like I stated before, getting them stuck in there for one thing, and then also any liability that might result if they were on our property, something happened to them, and we're not there, they could come off after us and sue us for offense for that purpose. So
it comes down to it's always about liability for everybody.
Is there any housing around here?
For some distance.
They got new buildings up on this side.
But where do people park in order to do the walkways?
On this cul-de-sac. Right now they're parking. There's no parking restrictions here, so they can park there. So they're parking here now. But so is others. So we're trying to remove
the
camping.
We're trying to allow dog walkers some time and remove the car camper homeless.
Well, I understand that, but if there are trails in there, people might want to go and walk the trails.
Yeah.
And they go park in this little area on the end.
And we're going to allow that to happen.
So, to about here.
I see.
2 hour parking.
So there's
2 hours.
In this white area right there.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Right. So then, I'm just curious, then, Can you approximate how many people really go there and park there for 2 hours? Do you have enough space for 90 feet of snow?
Well, from what I've heard, I think...
There's people there, yeah.
Yeah.
I had other people there while I was there.
So. Yeah, and I've heard, you know, there's always a couple of cars.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, you know, we could... 90 to 100 feet would give 4 to 5 cars.
And I've made the mistake of parking in... I didn't know that you couldn't park in any cul-de-sac, but I've made the mistake of parking.
Well, it's not marked that way, so you wouldn't have to...
Yeah, right.
Fine now.
Yeah.
Until the signs.
Till the signs
we just need
It'll
to...
be clear.
We need to provide that.
Was your concern, John, that there might not be enough parking for people that want to go there and use the paths?
Well, if that's the case, we can shift it down. The reason that we limited it to this area was it wouldn't impact any trucks movement.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, well, let's keep them here. So if I need to provide it a little further, we can take a look
at that. The question just you would ask, it seems to me, if you've set it up for people to walk trails, they've got to get there somehow, and they probably drive, and where are they going to park their cars?
When they
right
were
there.
Parking here.
Yeah, but
that's not for very long.
I've never seen myself and most two other vehicles I've ever seen there.
And you're the one that walks your dog there and uses the trails?
I'm there pretty regular. Right.
But how many cars have you seen at the most?
That's what I said, myself or two others at the most.
So three.
Yeah, and that was rare. You
okay.
Just myself.
And when I was there last Tuesday, there was one guy walking a dog on the path further south, but there were no cars parked on Henningsen.
Some of the semi drivers, I think, sometimes they're walking their dog that way too. I've noticed that with no other cars there and somebody walking their dog.
And again, this is a starting place.
Right.
And if it needs to be adjusted later, we'll hear about it and we can adjust it.
It's a fine solution to your problem.
Yes.
So worst case scenario,
we
if
break
we realize
legs.
Down the road that it gets really crowded and congested, is there a way to gravel in on that grass side and do like lane parking?
No.
Anytime we do impervious surface, even gravel, you have to do water treatment stuff. So it's easier for us to.
So there's a catch basin here and a catch basin here. This is curbed, so we couldn't. It's
got it.
You can't get over there. You can't get there from here.
Costs a lot of money.
Sounds fine to me.
I have a concrete recommendation. I would recommend altering the sign from 2 hour parking to dawn to dusk. That to me just seems more straightforward, still accomplishes the main goal of not allowing people to park there overnight.
It would allow people to be there to camp then during those other times.
And they would.
In lieu of all day. Because that's you're letting them park there from.
But then an RV could park in that.
We're
spot
talking,
all day.
And I'm not talking about the entire stretch. I'm talking about those four spots.
Right.
But it's
so
not
what
four
is,
spots.
What is your proposal?
It's 90
I want to hear. I want to hear the words you want to put on the sign.
Oh, parking permitted, dawn till dusk.
But RVs can park
him
there.
Him and I have our trailers, and we park there. We take all four parking spots all day long, and no citizen can use that to walk their dogs, which is what that is intended for.
Yeah, I think that creates more problems. For you in the long run.
I think that's harder to enforce.
Yes.
Dog walkers only.
But I have a cat on a leash.
Right. At a bare minimum, I do think the 2 hours
that's
is a bit short. That. 2 hours
people
for walking a dog?
They can go in the city.
Yeah.
And
again,
it's not going to be strictly enforced.
The 2 hour parking,
it's not that big of a threat.
It's going to be enforced when
somebody
calls
and
says that they've been here 8 hours.
Right.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's reality.
And they're not calling if cars are parked down there anyway.
Yeah.
If it's a car.
If there's a camper there, they're calling.
Yeah.
Right.
And the reason I picked 2 hours was actually from the comments of the people that were out there walking. They're like, oh, we usually walk for about an hour.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let's do 2 hours because that would be a lot
I'd
more time.
I'd walk my dog for 2 hours. I'd be dead.
So that was that's kind of why it was 2 hours. Dead it wasn't control. Random. It was just from comments that I heard.
Then I withdraw my recommendation.
I mean, I think it'll be interesting to do it, to put the signs up, to see how the business interacts, to see how enforcement goes. I mean, it's the whole thing. And then obviously, like you said, if there's a hiccup, he's going to notify and say, hey, this is not working out.
Yeah. And you'll
adjust,
come back.
And then we'll just have to come back and adjust.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move approval of the city's recommendation.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Good.
Closing the public hearing.
Thank you.
Period at the end for commissioner comments. The public is welcome to remain, but the hearing is over. So.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Hopefully, you know, let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch with you if we do have
any issues. Yeah, if you have any, if you're seeing something, let me know.
If you need anything from me, please let me know.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I should have made him come.
Right, I was wondering.
Any general comments?
So I apologize, because it sounds like from the meeting minutes we didn't come back with something, so
correct.
I missed that. What are you needing from staff?
I believe
on Beth's topic?
Yes.
I don't think we said, I think we just said we would talk about it more at a future meeting. I don't think it was this meeting.
Okay.
Necessarily.
I agree.
Yeah,
what was the topic?
We are going to get ready to. We're starting to look at the streets that we're going to be collecting for the next neighborhood traffic management program. So we are going to be coming back on that, as we're going to start at selecting the next projects for like the stop plans and the speed bumps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to be scheduling something soon, probably the next one for that.
I think for general purpose, it might be helpful if any commissioners have topics of interest that they'd like to see brought up at future meetings. This would be an opportunity to raise them so that we can perhaps give staff an opportunity to prepare presentations or reports as appropriate for us. So I do believe that the traffic issue that was brought up, I'm honestly not fully remembering the preciseness, so honestly, maybe just restate so that we can make sure that it is properly covered going forward.
Okay. We'll take a look at the meeting, the voice recorder, and take and look at exactly what was asked.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I missed it. I don't know what brain fart or what happened.
Well, or maybe Beth could repeat it. It was you raised the question of some. Can we have uniform, consistent reporting when there's an injury of a bike or a ped on their way to school or something?
I was specific. Well, mostly I wanted to know if you were getting the reports from law enforcement so that you could collect that data. Like, yes, of course, school zones, but there are other areas. I asked about the accident with the woman on February 4th, and if you were getting reports of those crashes so that you knew they didn't necessarily have to be fatalities, but were you getting those reports?
I get them if I ask for them.
Right, so I feel like that should be...
Sometimes I don't know about...
But so this whole topic, rather than answer it now, this whole topic was what needed more discussion.
And after the meeting, I did talk to Beth about maybe coming to staff first so that we can figure out how to present it to CATSE, because they're, you know, you have a lot of questions, and we just want to make sure some of them's easy for us, some of them might take some.
So my question will be, it's hypothetically, it's, you know, what is the crash reporting? We don't, like we said, we don't get that information.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I don't see that as a program where we would start doing that consistently from now forever. We don't have the resources to do it, and then what would we do with the data? Is the question, because we don't have funds to fix bad driving behavior.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, and that's a lot of the fatalities. I mean, you know, what is the right answer to fix that? And I don't know what it is. So I'm putting that out there that, you know, you can ask for something, but we don't have a lot of resources to do it.
There's just the two of us.
It's us for the entire city.
Mm-hmm. And we do events, we do development review, we do construction plan review, you know, traffic control, signal timing, signing, striping, neighbor complaints. So
Catsy.
Yes, no, I'm aware that
we have a lot of questions that come our way, and so we get bogged down. So trying to be proactive on looking at crash histories and stuff
is it 1 hour of staff time for someone to ask?
No, that's just for council.
Oh, okay.
So we don't really have a great ability to do big studies. Sometimes we'll do, we are undertaking a study downtown. One of the things that's coming up is we're hiring a consultant to look at signal timing changes downtown to try to get a 20-mile-an-hour progression so that we can maybe slow traffic through town a little bit. And then the effects on, our leading pet interval stuff and that we did, which is we have the pets walk before the green comes for cars, and it's to get the pedestrians established in the crosswalk.
Hey, Kevin, we seem to be veering back into discussing the question.
Actually, in terms of future topics, what Kevin just said was a question or future topic that I had on my mind. At what point will CATSI have a role in the downtown project to learn more about it, have input on whatever some of the variables or decisions might be? And you don't need to answer now, just put it on the list that I think we'd be, interested in knowing more and having some advisory role. That's what the A is for in CATSI.
Yeah, we can bring a, as we get the work started, we can bring that to you.
Yes, Beth?
Can I just go back? I understand that you guys have no capacity, but I would like somehow the city or someone to acknowledge that you are not enough as two people, that there does need to be a need for more because you are overworked. And so acknowledging that, I think, would be the first thing so that we could ask for those other things that are taking place for someone to be able to collect the data. That's the first thing I want, is I just want it to be acknowledged that you aren't receiving that. And when we are breaking records, right, with fatalities, if you're reading the news or you have no knowledge of it, then I think that that's a breakdown. Your capacity is not there, and there is not enough for traffic engineers at this size of the city to work at the capacity that you're doing. So that acknowledgement, I think, would be first that I would ask for, because two people is not enough, right? What's the city of Eugene have? More than two.
I think there are a lot of bigger problems that they've got to look at. I mean, the traffic issues in the city are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me they've got to have the staff to manage those.
Right. And it's not enough. But then they're going to have a problem because there's a budget crisis. But people will eventually get upset that people are getting hit by cars and what's being done. I think, in my mind, I think, because I think another person was just hit yesterday, right?
Well, the new head crossing at
Commercial
and Triangle
just blown
got wiped
out. Yeah.
It was at 7 in the morning.
Was it even there 6 months?
No.
Yeah.
Wasn't
even.
It's like, it was during the day.
Uh-huh.
What, and it completely
it's
mowed
all
over.
Gone.
And it's
yeah.
just like,
so wow. I noticed that there's a cone and stuff missing there. So did somebody, a vehicle just like rammed over the island?
I haven't seen a police report.
Okay.
I just finally saw it in the dispatch log.
If they stopped.
So I got to see when it happened. Yeah, I don't know.
But there wasn't a pedestrian necessarily involved. It was vehicle hit the median.
Most likely it was a vehicle, just went through it, knocked it down, and
kept going.
Kept on going.
And drove
run
off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
Truck or something. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll get more information at some point because, I'd like to try to bill them for the damage. I mean, that's, $30,000 worth of damage.
Yeah, take the public comment.
Yeah, Ben Freiback, for the record, I got my hair cut at that little barber across the way from that crosswalk, and I talked to my barber, and he said that somebody had parked their car that morning and just left it there.
On the island?
No, in the parking lot next to the barber shop. That's what the guy that cut my hair said, but I don't know how truthful vehicle those people are.
The car that, you think it was the same car that hit the island?
That's what he said.
Oh, that's what he said. Okay,
got it.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly how truthful barbers are if they're just making a conversation.
Yeah.
Lying barbers.
Yeah. I'll try to
find your hair looks barber. Great.
Maybe he's the one that did it.
Any other requests for comments for topics or thoughts on topics for future discussion?
I have one more.
Sure.
Kevin isn't going to be terribly surprised by this, probably. I am curious to learn more about, as CATSI's scope and role expands, whether we have an input on what our future role is, or whether it's just going to come from the top down and be like, here you go, here's your new mission.
I don't know.
That's fine. Put it on the list.
Yeah. But,
thank you.
Yeah, I probably have a couple myself. I think it would just be one thing that I think in my tenure that I haven't really run across yet is just a general rundown of what are the general projects and improvements that are planned in the city related to transportation.
Yeah.
In our, what's our 10-year, 20-year master plan CIP look like? It would just be nice to see that.
And I agree with you. But I think there's something ahead of that that we, as long as I've been on here, we haven't really talked much about, and that's
the TSP.
How the traffic problems are changing in the city. I mean, we've got a city that's growing fairly rapidly, and it's going to grow even more. When I think of South River Road, because that's where I live over there, when I first came here, I mean, you get 5 cars a day. Now it's just all day long.
When I moved to Salem, it was 80,000. Now it's 180,000.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think that's a good lead, because we have a lot of projects with the bond projects. I mean, I've been looking at the McGillcrest next phase. We've been looking at Silverton Road Road Diet. So we can definitely bring.
There's growth on all the perimeters of the city.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to kind
and
of
there's
see
not a lot of
plans.
Capacity changes happening. A lot of the work is more sidewalk infill, bike facilities,
and that'd be good to know, because sometimes I'm like, no, I wonder if something's happening with this or if it's on the radar or not. So that would be good.
Yeah, so we definitely, I can get the CIP and some of the bond project stuff to you.
And you all have our email addresses.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us the questions so we can kind of get started on it.
Oh, you're going to be sorry.
I know. Well, anything from you goes right to my junk folder.
Yeah, I know.
I just figured I would take this few minutes that we had uncharacteristically to open up the field for people to actually voice their requests, since I know that we all have our own pet interests related to transportation that we might like to learn more about.
Well, there's also the bigger issue of how transportation is changing in the city. I mean, I've been here 40 years, and I've seen it change dramatically in that time in various places.
I mean, there was talk, you know, from the state of not requiring traffic studies for development anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that didn't happen. There are other
still
things that happen
still
that
a potential.
Could still happen.
And our legislature did away with minimum parking requirements.
Yes, they did. That was terrible.
That's our legislature, so don't get mad at city.
Right.
When
what is apartment, that? I'm not familiar with that.
So when an apartment complex goes in, historically we would require a minimum of 1.5 spaces per unit.
Got it.
The legislature said, you don't have to require any. So
and
you
that's
can
regardless
build
of
as many apartments
downtown, right?
You can build as many apartments as you want, and you don't have to provide any off-street parking.
Well, you can see.
And isn't that universal too? Like it applies to all land uses now. They basically did
it
with it. So you could also build a giant strip mall and not do parking if you wanted to.
Right. Or like these.
So again, that makes this question about earlier today a little bit more relevant, because there's no guarantee that they're going to build parking lots. They're not required to.
But as a business, if they're,
it makes,
you know,
it'd be
there's
to do
there's
so.
Bike lanes.
Dollar General will, because
they see the road, they see that there's no parking available,
yeah,
and they're going to have lots for their employees because they're.
I'm just
be
saying,
secure.
I've already seen developers making some.
Business
interesting decisions about not putting parking, so I wouldn't assume that they're going to act in their that particular sort of best interest.
Yes. So kind of the corollary to that is as the new apartments go in, there will be complaints from the residents that live there about the people parking in front of their house, and I want to put in residential permit parking to keep the apartment people out, but since they live there, they can get a permit to park there.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'll put in one more before going back to Beth. I'd love to hear what thoughts, if any, city staff have been putting forward for how they might backfill plummeting revenues from gas tax, since the state isn't going to help us, let's be realistic. What options are being considered, if any? I know that in my case, I know that in my municipality, the answer is grim. I figure it's here too, but I'd at least like to hear the grim somewhere.
About the only thing they've got is bonds.
Well, that's better.
There's no ongoing tax that I know of.
I think that the conversation of cars is a big political conversation. And so when you say there shouldn't be room for people to park, there should be other opportunities for people to take the bus or ride a bike or be able to walk. And when you put cars ahead of that and you make all that parking, then there's got to be a road to get there so cars can get there. I think the accessibility is part of the problem. So when you're upset, it sounds to me like you're upset that the legislature chose to do that, and it sounds like that doesn't make sense to you, and that is questionable to you. However, to people who don't drive or can't afford a car or don't have options to walk or ride a bike or take the bus or a train, and there are no other options for modes of transportation, then what do people do? You cannot prioritize driving a car over those other modes of transportation. And I think it's unfair, but it becomes very political because people here love their cars.
So how about we just put that as a future topic and not discuss it further now?
Exactly.
I'm actually going to go further and say that's probably not a topic for Cassie to discuss, if only because that is
it's not going to be productive.
I was more interested in what that was, why I asked.
No.
Well, I like your suggestion about looking at these issues, but I think one thing that this committee needs to understand is what's happening in the city throughout. What are we going to face in the future? I think of something as simple as Croydon Street. It's now being used as a way to get from to South River Road or off South River Road to Kugler.
Well, I would think that would also just I think the TSP would be another interesting topic of discussion outside the projects and more in the actual meat of it, because you guys have discussed the changing trends in the kinds of vehicle trips, non-vehicular trips, pedestrian trips. You do cover all the modes of transportation in the TSP.
And the TSP update is going to be coming soon, and CATSI will be presented with a bunch of different things because there's so many different sections.
It might be good to give us a crash course on a few of the pertinent sections ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Not the revised ones, but what's currently here so that we can be informed about where planning sits currently so that we can actually constructively add to future planning.
And this the new attempt to develop more housing, middle housing, around in the city is going to have a transportation effect. Mm-hmm. And I hope the city is planning for that.
No. Park at Marion Parkade, that's where you
I mean, I know that that's not quite fair. Planning is occurring. As to whether or not you'll be able to affect anything with the planning is always the other question.
I mean, the reality is we're not adding roadway capacity.
Yeah.
So there's going to be more congestion.
And you're not adding transportation ability either.
Yeah. So we're kind of, you know,
because the transit.
Here's our road width. And a lot of them we're making.
It's not quite the political question, but it would also just be good to have a basic explanation or a basic discussion of Chariots and our current transit options in the city. No. I'm aware that you want nothing to do with that. I think, though, that everyone on the CATC would love.
I mean, we can invite somebody from Chariots to come and talk about their planning.
What they are doing. Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, but keep in mind who controls CATC. Or CATC.
I'm aware.
For the transit.
And we at least want to be informed, so when we're talking about ultimate
transportation,
we know.
She appoints, or he appoints, all the members of the transit board.
That's true.
So, I mean, we have a pretty good
system. We can bring somebody from transit to come out and talk about their plans, because, you know, they're looking at a South River, or South Commercial Transit Center and stuff, so.
By all means.
So I'm now speaking as Planning Commissioner, Chair of Transportation Subcommittee, as so far mentioned by Tony. Something that we have been talking about, and something that I've heard from a lot of, like, I guess the Home Builders Association, for example, they would like to build less parking if they had the support from transportation. Because, you know, parking lots, they're expensive to build and they don't generate revenue for whoever owns the parking lot as much as, you know, say, unless you built an apartment building there. But people aren't going to live somewhere if they don't, without parking, if they don't feel like they can't get around using some other mode. And something that I've heard that we're running up against the wall on is that we just don't have the options right now in the city to support that. And I would be interested in hearing a discussion, maybe on the CATC level or maybe later for a transportation system plan, about how the city can add these other modes or other options, because, you know, we're gonna, you know, be infilling, or there's gonna be infill happening in the city so we can meet our housing goals.
Well, and not to, you know, crack the can of worms there, but another thing that would be helpful in terms of walkable, bikeable development would be, what exactly is the comprehensive plan doing in order to, say, facilitate the community business? I know.
Yeah. So I think
there's a corner store in my neighborhood that has been dead for God knows how long.
Yeah.
The trend is going in the opposite direction in terms of there being multi-use within individual neighborhoods walkable. We seem to be moving in the exact opposite direction of maximizing spread without allowing for diversity of use.
Yeah, I agree. I think...
But that's a broad topic, and honestly, way outside our purview.
Yes, it is.
The more we spread out, the infrastructure costs more. Yeah, it's fine. A little bit. But something that I'm really focused on is allowing whoever owns whatever property they have to use it in the most efficient way they can. And in some senses, that's building more housing. And we can't do that if we don't have this transportation system that allows people to choose how to get around.
That's an interesting topic.
That's a good discussion topic, I would recommend.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend that we call this a night at 7:08.
All right.
Do appreciate all the input, though. Sorry for all the extra work to staff.
Thank you, staff.
Don't worry, I'm just passing
so
on the ball.
It's probably not